on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. Girls on the Run is gearing up for its spring season, and they're seeking out coaches. We'll start by hearing more about what they're looking for. Could the Chicago Bears move to Indiana? We'll hear the latest on the statewide effort to make that happen. And Victoria Jacobson joins us to discuss girls' basketball sectional draws. We'll check in on Southside boys' basketball's great season and catch up on gymnastics. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Field Notes regulars are probably familiar with Girls on the Run. We're less than 2 months away from the start of their spring campaign, and they're looking for coaches. To tell us more, I'm joined by Sarah Delgadillo and Elizabeth DeYoung from Girls on the Run. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
We featured Girls on the Run ahead of the fall season, and I want to start by asking how that season and the 5K in November went.
Right. So our 5K was awesome. We had quite a few girls coming out. It's always exciting at the 5K to see everyone come together and spend that time and really challenge themselves to complete a 5K together, which is awesome. It was a little bit smaller than I think we've had in the past. And that's really because we don't have as many coaches as we need to help fulfill this mission to touch and really be a part of these girls' lives.
We had beautiful weather. It was a great day. We had an awesome time. So we're really hoping to get some more coaches and participants for our spring season.
For listeners who may have missed our last conversation, tell us about the goals and overall mission of Girls on the Run.
So Girls on the Run's mission is really to help girls be joyful, confident, and healthy. And we use a curriculum-based program that the girls follow in order to be active. They're running after school, they're doing a program together with each other, and just sharing this experience with one another.
I know it's hard to think about spring this week, but Girls on the Run is starting to prepare for the spring season, and you need coaches. So what should somebody who may be interested in that know about that?
So you do not have to be a runner to be a coach with Girls on the Run. You just need to have a heart for these girls in our community, a desire to mentor this upcoming generation. We're just looking for women and men can be coaches who want to encourage these girls, like Sarah said, to be joyful and confident and healthy. Girls meet twice a week in the after school or evening hours. So if you have availability at those times, we will happily match you with the site and get you trained and ready to go as a coach.
So if somebody meets the criteria and they're interested in becoming a coach, how exactly do they do that?
Yeah, so they can visit our website, the Girls on the Run for Northeast Indiana, which is goternei.org. And that website will give them all the information to sign up, tell them where the available sites are that we have a need for coaches at. And then there is some training that they'll need to go through afterwards. So we do look for people who are 18 or older to coach and, of course, can pass a background check.
We provide all training and materials that coaches need to be successful. Right. So we'll get them to that point.
What does the structure of the spring season ultimately look like?
So we start our season on March 9th, and this is an after-school program. So we're looking for people who have availability then in the afternoon. Some of these sites are at schools. Sometimes they're at community locations like YMCAs or the Fort Wayne Urban League. But we're really looking for those people who are helping to pour into these young girls to help them be joyful, confident, and healthy.
Each season concludes with a big 5K event. We talked about the one that took place in the fall. Obviously, there's going to be one in the spring as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
So our seasons always end with the final 5K. This is the big goal that the girls work towards and the coaches too. And our 5K will be on May 17th, again at Schoaf Park. And we're excited for a big turnout. This is where you get to see everything the girls have worked towards in the season come to fruition. They have set this big goal. They're getting to achieve it with their teammates and their coaches. And just the joy and the excitement is just, it's unlike any other 5K you've experienced before. So the girls sign up just to participate in the final 5K sometimes. Coaches, just to see all your hard work that you've poured into these girls at the 5K makes the whole experience completely worth it.
Sarah Delgadillo and Elizabeth DeYoung from Girls on the Run, thank you so much for being here, telling us a little bit about this upcoming season, and good luck in your search.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The city of Gary is pitching three sites for a future Chicago Bears stadium. The city unveiled its proposal several weeks ago, complete with renderings of a potential stadium district. The proposed sites are at Buffington Harbor near the Gary Chicago Airport, along I-80-94 near the Hard Rock Casino, and east of U.S. Steel near Miller Beach. A separate law passed last year created a locally appointed professional sports development commission that could put together a master plan to attract a team and potentially acquire property as well. And now, state lawmakers are pushing a bill to convince the Bears to relocate to the Hoosier State. WFYI's Samantha Horton reports the legislation paves the way for a new football stadium in Northwest Indiana.
The team wants a new stadium, and the bill would create the Northwest Indiana Stadium Authority, a three-member board that would pursue the necessary funding and acquire the land. Lawmakers are trying to recreate the effort that brought the Indianapolis Colts to the state in the 1980s. The bill moved quickly through Senate committees. Senator David Nisgodsky notes the current version will likely change before it reaches the governor's desk.
I know that there are many conversations still out there. I believe this bill has some greater work that it's going to take place before it's finished.
Senate committee changes removed the percentage goals of women and minority businesses involved in the project. The Chicago Bears have said they would consider Indiana for a new stadium location. I'm Samantha Horton in Indianapolis.
And now I'm joined by Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
What are your thoughts on the possibility of the Bears moving to Indiana?
Well, I am going to start off by saying I'm not a Bears fan. My husband is, but I don't have a particular emotional connection to Soldier Field or anything like that. My only two thoughts are that my personal experience at Soldier Field as a student worker back a little bit over a decade ago now.
Hasn't changed much.
Probably not. Was that this is not a good place to work. This is not an ideal. This is not an ideally built situation. So that was my impression of what they're working with right now quite a bit ago. My only other thought is, as a person who often has reason to drive to the Chicagoland area or back over the 4th of July weekend or Thanksgiving, you know, for family events, those toll plazas. As you are on that trip from the region to Chicago or back, the thought of what that would look like immediately before or after an NFL game in Chesterton or Valparaiso or anywhere in that area is so bad that I just have to laugh. So that is my only thought, the toll plazas.
That Chesterton one only has two lanes. It's a nightmare if there's any traffic at all. Let's circle back to our local sports. IHSAA girls basketball draws have been revealed. Tell us some of the key details that we learned from that.
All right. So the one that I think most of us were keeping our eyes on was Homestead and Norwell. When would they meet? Because Homestead, one of the favorites in Class 4A. Norwell, the defending Class 3A champ, who's not going to be defending their title because the Knights got bumped up to 4A by Success Factor. Now in the same sectional as Homestead. Norwell, again, these 3A champs trying to make their way in a 4A world. They got one of the biggest wins of the year so far with a 59-46 win over Homestead in mid-November. Long time ago, things have changed. There's some players who were out who hopefully will be healthy and back when we get to the sectional time frame. But it seems like we're kind of got a little bit of a favorable draw here. The ping pong balls bounce in the right way, because if these two teams do meet, it's going to be in the Southside sectional title game. So Homestead, 21-2, current number two team in the state, is going to open against the host Archers, Southside. They're 2-20. The winner from that will go and play Huntington North, who is 7-13 in the semifinal. And Norwell drew a bye and will open up against Wayne, 6-13. So we have a pretty good expectation that we're going to see those two teams in the Southside sectional final. Also looking here at Warsaw, number four, 22-2, completely different sectional. The Warsaw Tigers are going to be over in the Goshen sectional. They drew a bye, so that's one less thing to worry about. And they'll face either Elkhart or Goshen in the semifinal, and then we'll move on to Northridge or Concord if they win that first round game. Another couple teams that we've been looking at is Class 3A, number five, Belmont. Got a favorable draw in the 3A Mississinewa sectional. Also drew a bye, and then we'll face either New Haven, New Haven's 2-18, or Marion, 11-11 in the semifinal. And Belmont has already beaten Heritage and Marion and New Haven, all teams that they could theoretically face in the draw and won all three games by at least 40 points. So feeling pretty comfortable. Last team that I wanted to hit really quickly is Class 2A number one, Witco. Don't necessarily get to talk a whole lot about Witco because they've been winning a lot of their games pretty handily. They're 20-1, and also because Witco plays in the Three Rivers Conference. They're our only local team that plays in the Three Rivers Conference. So don't get a ton of opportunities to see the Wildcats, but they won't have an easy path through the Woodland Sectional. So they're going to face ACAC regular season champ Woodland in the first round. And then the winner of that, Witco or Woodland, is going to advance to number 11, Bluffton, 17-5. And Bluffton won the ACAC tournament. So, again, not an easy path for the number one Wildcats.
On the boys' side, Southside put together an impressive win over Carroll, and they've been putting together a really impressive season.
Yeah, so Southside currently 15-1. That only loss is to Homestead. And the Archers are 5-1 in the SAC after beating Carroll 69-55 at home last Friday. They did that even though one of their two leading scorers, Javon Irby, kind of got poked in the eye going up for a shot with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Wasn't able to come back into the game, so they had to hold off Carroll without him, and they did so. Pretty solid win, just knocking off another SAC opponent. So that means that Southside is now tied atop the SAC standings at 5-1 with Snyder, but Southside beat Snyder head-to-head early in the regular season. So they have that tiebreaker if that should come into play over the next couple weeks. Homestead, which, you know, we talked about, has handed Southside their only loss this year, suffered its second loss in the SAC against Northside last week. So unless we have a bunch of teams losing, we're not going to have to worry about Homestead for a little bit. There are two other teams that still have one loss, Wayne and Bishop Lohr's, and Southside is going to get to play them both in the coming weeks. So those are some games to keep an eye on.
We haven't talked too much about gymnastics this season, but the annual Becky Carter Classic took place over the weekend. What did you see there?
Yeah, this is the first big meet of the year for some of our area teams. I think it might have been one of the very first meets of the year for Bishop Dwenger, always a contender. But this time, Jillian Krieger of Homestead gets her third Becky Carter Classic all-around title, her third straight, and she did it breaking a record. She had an almost perfect routine on the uneven bars and scored a school record 9.850. Even as it was happening and she did her dismount, she got a lot of air on that one. I actually looked at our photographer, Stan Cicina, and said, whoa, she got some height on that one. And turns out, I guess I can recognize some things about gymnastics. So that was a really great routine. And that bumped, first of all, her into the all-around standings, where she finished first above Avery Gleave of Bishop Dwenger. But it also helped bump the Spartans into first place overall in the team standings, which is pretty exciting because this is the first year that the Spartans have won the team title since 2023. I think it was before we were doing this show. But 2023 was the last time that the Spartans finished second at the state finals. Their score was 112.050. That is a really, really high score, especially for this point in the year. We're still relatively early. A lot of gymnasts are still working out some things, trying to smooth out some of the wobbles here and there. And as Coach Jody Hardwick said, and Jillian Krieger said, they're still expecting to add some things to some of these routines, add a little bit of a degree of difficulty as we go along here. So we should expect those scores to rise a little bit. So they have now scored above 112 in all five of their first five competitions of the year. At the same time, coming into last weekend, no other team in the state had broken that 112 mark, while Homestead is doing it consistently. Angola, another one of our local team's recurrent contenders in gymnastics, they've gotten the closest at 111.575. So Spartans are looking good and scoring really, really well and hopefully have a little bit of room for improvement.
Victoria Jacobson covering all angles of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Comets have been up and down for the last month, but right now, they're up. They've won three in a row, picking up road wins against Indy and Cincinnati over the weekend. That gives them 48 points on the year, and they're holding steady at second place in the Central Division. They're heading back to Cincinnati Friday. Faceoff is set for 7:30. Then they're back at the Coliseum for two against Tahoe. Saturday's game starts at 8. Sunday's is at 5. IU fans were able to continue their celebration into this week after its men's basketball team picked up a massive upset victory in a rivalry game against Purdue, 72-67, late Tuesday night. The Boilermakers, who started the year as the number one team in the nation, are 17-4 on the season. But three of those losses have come against Big Ten teams, including a tough one against Illinois over the weekend. These recent struggles have dropped them to number 12 nationally. It's been a rough month for Purdue. Meanwhile, the Pacers have continued to struggle, but they picked up a huge moral victory Friday, beating the dominant Oklahoma City Thunder on the road on national TV. It could end up being their most significant win of the 2025-26 season. They'll stay in the Hoosier State for the next week. On Saturday, they'll host the Atlanta Hawks, then the Houston Rockets come to town Monday before they welcome the Utah Jazz on Tuesday. All three games will tip off at 7 from Gainbridge. And no NFL action this week as the Seahawks and Patriots brace themselves for the big game in Santa Clara on February 8th. Unless, of course, you count the Pro Bowl games, which... pass. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.